Hour number three of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, a Football Friday, even though we don't have any football to preview, but we still got football to talk about. So I want to play you this audio. This was via Katie Feeney's Instagram, and she had on Cowboys wide receiver, star wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb. And CeeDee Lamb was asked, who has the more passionate fan base? Are it your drama Dallas choking Cowboys? You know, is it them or is it the Philadelphia Eagles? Now, you would think, right, CeeDee Lamb plays for the Cowboys, even though it would be a lie. He would say, yeah, it's the Dallas Cowboys. I play for the Cowboys, love Cowboys fans. Oh, Cowboys fans, more passionate than Eagles fans. But CeeDee Lamb actually told the truth. This is what it sounded like.
Who has a more passionate fan base, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
Eagles.
Eagles?
They're crazy. Our Cowboys, our fans are deep, but they not. I don't want to say nothing crazy, but the Eagles got it.
So there you go. That is CeeDee Lamb basically just annoying a lot of Cowboys fans and giving the Eagles another victory. Real quickly, let's hear some sounds from the parade, and then we'll have a little conversation when we get into the 10 most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Here was Landon Dickerson cursing when he was interviewed by Fox 29.
Landon Dickerson.
All I got to say is go burn!
Oh, we apologize
for
that.
Yeah, we apologize.
Here is Quinyon Mitchell, absolutely lost in the sauce at the parade, courtesy of Fox 29.
I love that they're just hopping off the buses.
Hey, a message! You
what?
To the people of Philadelphia, your love message.
Go!
And here is A.J. Brown. He had a little message for all of his haters.
They said I was a diva. They said all I care about was stats. What? You're going to get all those things wrong about me, but one thing you can get right. I'm a champion.
So there you go. That's that. I came across, so when I was in Philadelphia, I lived right next to the art museum, or pretty close to the art museum. And I forgot I did this, but I did man on the street interviews for the Eagles parade. And I went back and found the audio. It was about like 10 minutes, 12 minutes of audio. The things that were said on there, how many bleeps, just how many people were cursing, going nuts, freaking out, and how many F the Cowboys I got, reactions to when the Hail Mary by Tom Brady was incomplete, people talking about BDN, which is Nick Foles. If you know, you know. A guy with, I talked about this earlier in the week, a guy had a giant poster of a private part wrapped in condoms to give to Nick Foles. And you had like girls saying wild stuff as well. I found the audio last night. It was just 10 to 12 minutes of jackassery in Philadelphia. That's what it was. But I mean that in a good way. It was funny stuff. So we played you that audio of CeeDee Lamb yesterday. Now let's go back to it today. And Stu, we'll do a little draft here. The 10 most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Do we have like NFL music or something like that fired up? Alrighty, I'll go first here. The most passionate fan base in the NFL. I've been to Buffalo. As much as I love going to games in Philadelphia, and the Eagles really are Philadelphia's community, but the Bills, like, people would go to Philadelphia just to go to Philadelphia. I don't know how many people just go to Buffalo unless if you're just going to a Bills game. And it's all about wings, family, football, and then also a ton of booze. That's Buffalo. And those Bills fans, you got that guy Pinto Ron, right? Who has like ketchup and mustard sprayed on his face. You have a file cabinet pizza guy. You got people jumping through tables. I've never seen anything like Bills Mafia. I'll never forget, I was in high school and I'm wearing a Tom Brady jersey. My cousin's wearing a Gronk jersey. He went to college at SUNY Buffalo. And every Bills fan, it was almost like a cult that we walked past. They were like, Brady's a lady! Brady's a lady! And then we were in the upper deck 50-yard line. My uncle loves sitting upper deck 50-yard line. And the Bills scored a touchdown. And somebody's grandmother, I kid you not, she was 75. Very saggy. 75. And the Bills scored a touchdown. And you would have thought she was on Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras, doing what people do at Mardi Gras when they want beads. She was flashing the whole section. Upper deck, 50-yard line. This lady's 70, 75, right? She was not a young woman. And she was flashing everyone after the Bills scored a touchdown, and it was in a blowout. They were losing the game, getting crushed by the New England Patriots. So I've never seen anything like Bills Mafia. I think the Bills are the most passionate, have the most passionate fans in the NFL. Stu, who's your first pick?
All right. I would agree with the Bills take there. I'll go Eagles. I know this might be a little bit revisionist history. We see it more when they're in the Super Bowl and when they have really good teams. They usually have good teams, but especially the last 4 years. I just think Eagles fans are a different breed. Philadelphia fans in general, not just Eagles, just the Philadelphia sports fan. So I just think you see the passion when they won this game last week. It for me, they are right up there with the Bills in terms of just having that passion for their teams.
So I said this to Spike when Spike got here, when he worked with us for, 3 years when he was our boss? I think it was 3 years. He goes to me, you lived in both cities. What's the biggest difference between New York and Philadelphia fans? And I go, New York, when it's a big game, I think there's nothing like a big game in New York. You know, at Yankee Stadium, Citi Field, Madison Square Garden, it's a big time crowd, big event crowd. The passion's unbelievable. But the biggest difference I thought with New York compared to Philadelphia are two things. There's only four teams in Philadelphia. In New York, you got three hockey teams. You got two baseball teams. You got two basketball teams, right? You got two football teams. So not the entire city is always behind the team. We're in Philadelphia. Eagles in a big game, entire city is going crazy. Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, all that stuff. And then also, I think the biggest difference, I don't want this to sound sexist, right? Because sports, right, macho man, all that stuff. When the Eagles are in a big game, it doesn't matter what sex you are, everyone in the city is wearing Eagles gear. Like, if the Yankees are in the World Series, I don't know if everyone's wearing Yankees gear. I've been to Philadelphia for many big games, division round, championship games. You would think as if all you could wear is Eagles gear. And people, I'm not even talking about just when you're at the stadium. 2 years ago when they got to the Super Bowl, I was going to all those games and I would meet my friends for lunch before the game and see some college buddies of mine. And we would be 15 miles, 20 miles away from the stadium and still everyone's in Eagles gear. So that's what I think some of the differences are with New York and Philadelphia. So Bills and Eagles off the board. My next fan base, I'm going to actually go, so it's the most passionate fan bases. I'm actually going to go with the Raiders. Are you surprised they take the Raiders this soon, Stu?
A little surprised. I thought I had them a little high at 4 or 5, but yes, I'm shocked you took them here.
So I thought of some other teams, like Steelers, Packers, two of the best fan bases in sports. You know, I also thought about the Cleveland Browns, right? Some of those other teams. But I got to go with the Raiders because the way the fans dress, you would think it's Halloween every time. And, right, they could play in Oakland. They could play in Las Vegas. They could play in L.A. Like, it don't matter. Wherever they go, those fans pop up. And there could be Super Bowls where they're not even close to being in. I know the NFL draft's a bigger deal because that's always a big deal for the Raiders. But every NFL event you go, you always have one guy dressed up crazy screaming, Raiders! So when you go and dress up like that, I think you're one of the most passionate fan base in sports. And I never get this right. I say this so many times that I never, you know exactly what I'm going to ask you, right, Stu? When I was at the draft.
The two Raider fans.
The Gorilla guy.
Rilla Gorilla. Yeah.
And then also something Wayne. Violator or something like that. I don't even know. But I met those two guys. And they were like, it's when we were CBS Sports Radio. They go, we love CBS Sports Radio. We love, because it was right after my Max Crosby interview that got, or no, Darren Waller interview that got picked up by Schefter. They go, and you always defend the Raiders. And I'm like, I defend the Raiders? Really? I don't know about that stuff. But those two guys, almost like they welcomed our network into Raiders fandom. And the only one at the network that is a Raiders fan is Stu Kovacs. So Bills, Eagles, Raiders off the board. Where do you go with next?
I will go with the Packers. That's my next pick. I just think the fact that, one, they're very passionate in the game. Obviously, the cheeseheads and the Lambeau leap, all of that. And just the fact that they're also the only one that actually owns the team, kind of plays in part of it too. But I just think that aura of Lambeau Field and the fans that are there, the Cheeseheads being there, I think they deserve to be near the top of the list here.
My next team, I'm going with the Steelers. And the reason why I'm taking the Steelers is not only do you have the iconic Terrible Towel and you got a great football city in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but I've never seen a fan base travel like Steelers fans. I don't think it's crazy to claim that if we did best traveling fan bases for the NFL, the Steelers would be number one. So Bills 1, Eagles 2, Raiders 3, Packers 4, Steelers 5. Who do you go with 6?
So this is a fan base that I don't see a lot of around here, but if you go to play at that place, there are a ton of them, and they are loud. And
oh, I know who you're going with.
That is the Seattle Seahawks fans. The 12th man, I mean, that just speaks for itself. I think their fans are very passionate. They're not like a national fan base. Like, I think all of these other teams we've mentioned so far have a big national presence, but the Seahawks don't really have that. But, just the 12th man at that stadium, they're pretty passionate.
Alrighty, the next team I'm going to mention, they remind me like Raiders fans because they're wacky. And that's the Niner gang. I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers. Bang, bang, Niner gang. I will take the San Francisco 49ers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams off the board. Bills, Eagles, Raiders, Packers, Steelers, Seahawks, 49ers. Who's your next team?
My next pick are Browns fans, and I think they've been unfairly treated the last 20, 25 years. Plus, they've had a team that moved.
Yeah, it's
been terrible, but they always stand behind their team almost more than any other fan base, even in the bad times. So I think the Browns fans deserve a shout out here.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hurt, hurt. And I said, here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns and it's 1st and 10. Alrighty. We got 2 more picks left?
Yep, 1 each.
I like your Seahawks pick. I thought they'd be a little bit lower. I think there's 2 more fan bases we have to hit. Or actually, I think there's 3 under consideration, pick 2. I'm just going to give you the fan base here that I think. And I think this is an underrated fan base. Their place is incredibly loud, and they have an iconic chant. It's the Minnesota Vikings with the skull. Give me the Minnesota Vikings. And they're also a tortured fan base, too. When they lose, it's not like they just lose. They lose in the most terrible, awful ways possible. So I'll take Minnesota.
Okay, so I know this team has won a lot lately, but
Let me ask you this. If I think there's 2 teams that are available here for 1 spot. Are either of those teams in your mind the Bears or the Chiefs?
Yes.
Okay, continue. So I know where you're going because you prefaced by saying, I know this team has won a lot lately.
Yeah, it's not the Bears. Yes, the Chiefs fans, I think, are very passionate. Arrowhead is rocking pretty much every game. Even when, and I've watched a lot of Chiefs games, even when they were down, 10, 15 years ago, they were still very, very loud. So I think the Chiefs should be on this list for sure.
So our top 10 most passionate fan bases in the NFL: Bills, Eagles, Raiders, Packers, Steelers, Seahawks, 49ers, Browns, Vikings, Chiefs. Is there anyone that got screwed out of the top 10?
Other teams I had under consideration were Bears, Broncos, Patriots.
Ooh. The Broncos. What, because Gallo's crazy?
No, I think they have a good fan base.
No, they do. I'm just teasing. They have the dumbest chant, though.
Oh, the incomplete.
Incomplete?
Yeah.
I never knew what they were saying for years.
Me neither. I was with you. For their years on TV, I'm like, what are they chanting?
Yeah. I go, what are they chanting? And I thought it was maybe something with the clock or something else, some other tradition. And then I realized anytime there's an incomplete pass, they go, incomplete. Just stupid. Cowboys fans, should they have been on this list?
They have a lot of fans. I don't know if they're...
A lot of cockroaches.
They're passionate. I don't know. I just don't... Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, when it's like running with the bulls, pretty much, when they open up that state. You ever see those videos?
I do, yeah.
That's just mayhem to me. And you put Patriot fans in there, you do.
I think so.
Yeah, and they're also hated, too. And they stuck by that team for years when that team just sucked. And they had the greatest 20-year run in the history of the league.
Maybe Saints fans, too?
Saints, very good people. Very good fans. I'll give you one more. I think, actually, this is the most egregious one that we missed. I just want to double-check here. to make sure that I'm not leaving anyone off the list here. Yeah. I got two fan bases that we did wrong. Did really wrong. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Arizona Cardinals. Right? Two great fan bases. Let me tell you.
I was wondering where you're going with this. I'm like, did I miss a team here?
It sucks what happened to Commanders fans too when they were Redskins, with the Redskins, right? Because that used to be one of the most passionate fan base, and then Daniel Snyder just, until this year, right, sucked all the life out of that franchise. I feel good, though, about our list. Bills 1, Eagles 2, Raiders 3, Packers 4, Steelers 5, Seahawks 6, 49ers 7, Browns 8, Vikings 9, Chiefs 10. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Who are some of the more passionate fans in the NFL? If you want to chime in on a team, feel free, 855-212-4227. Always on Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. All righty, we will come on back when we do return. Quarterback predictions 1.0. We will take a glance at some quarterbacks that are going to be available this offseason or could be available this offseason, and I will give you my first round of predictions on where those quarterbacks will land. We'll do that when we come on back. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. So anything I've said about quarterback predictions in the past, crumble it up, open up your window, and throw that piece of paper, throw that prediction out the window. I thought about this long and hard early this morning, and I'm ready to do QB predictions 1.0. We will eventually have a 2.0, maybe a 3.0, potentially a 4.0. And I think after four times, we probably will have our answers. And I don't know how much it will change from this week to next week, but we're not that far away from the new league year opening up, coming up in mid-March, where you have the legal tampering window, and then the league year does start 2 years after, 2 days after that. And the combine's right around the corner, too. But anyway, without further ado, I'm not talking about Freddie Adu. We will get to our quarterback predictions for the 2025 offseason, version 1.0. Stu will fire off the name with the big voiceover guy, and I'll tell you where I had that quarterback going to this offseason.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, we start with a bang. Ayahuasca Aaron, I think, is going to be going to one of the more passionate fan bases in the NFL. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a situation where they're once again looking for a stopgap guy. I don't think they're bringing back Justin Fields. I don't think they're bringing back Russell Wilson. And Mike Tomlin needs to win a playoff game. Aaron Rodgers played well at the end of the season, and I still think he could go play another year, even though he's still not the great Aaron Rodgers. They need to improve that offensive line because that line right now is stinky. You do got George Pickens. You got Pat Freiermuth as well. But I could see Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers linking up with Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. And if people go, oh, Tomlin's not going to want to deal with the BS of Aaron Rodgers, he dealt with Antonio Brown for a long, 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 long time. And also, I still rather have Aaron Rodgers over Russell Wilson. And I'd be more curious to see Justin Fields, even though I think Aaron Rodgers is better, just because he's younger. And I'd like to see what Justin Fields could do over the course of the season. But if they bench Justin Fields last year, I don't think they're then going to make him the starting quarterback in 2025. So I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here we go.
Kirk Cousins.
So I think he'll eventually get released. He's owed a lot of money, $100 million guaranteed. So I think Kirk Cousins becomes last year's version of Russell Wilson this year, where it's going to be on a cheap one-year deal. And I look at the Cleveland Browns, whether they part ways with Deshaun Watson or not, they have to pay Deshaun Watson his fully guaranteed contract. Deshaun Watson's never going to start a game again, nor should he, for the Cleveland Browns. I think Kirk Cousins, with the familiarity with Kevin Stefanski, is going to wind up with the Cleveland Browns, and you'll see Kirk Cousins in the dog pound. So Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers, Kirk Cousins to the Browns. Next one.
Matthew Stafford.
There's a lot of smoke out there with Matthew Stafford. And I'm trying to vet what is true, what is false, and then what's meat in the middle, just because this is negotiation bullcrap. I still don't get why the Los Angeles Rams would move off of Matthew Stafford. All right, he's getting up there in age. Still a good quarterback. What are you doing if you get rid of Matthew Stafford? I'm not getting rid of Matthew Stafford for Russell Wilson. I'm not getting rid of Matthew Stafford for Kirk Cousins. I'm not getting rid of Matthew Stafford for Aaron Rodgers. Does Sean McVay love Sam Darnold that much that he's going to give Sam Darnold a 3 or 4 year contract and then say, I could win with Sam Darnold and we'll just kick Matthew Stafford to the curb who you won a Super Bowl with? Yeah, I don't think so. Until I'm proven wrong here, I am going to go down swinging and holding on to that claim that this is a bunch of negotiation bullcrap, even though his wife is now entering the conversation where she's going on our Instagram and saying, you know, this picture of us is blurry just like our future. And then Kelly Stafford talking all big on our podcast about how her husband needs more respect and all that stuff. The Rams love drama. The Rams are really a bunch of drama whores. Aaron Donald before that Super Bowl, this is going to be like Rodney Harrison said this was going to be his last game. That's what he told him. Sean McVay, Mr. GQ is going to be retiring for years. Matthew Stafford going to be retiring for years. There's always a lot of drama with the Rams and not a lot of action. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I still see Matthew Stafford coming on back with the Rams next year.
Russell Wilson.
This was the most difficult one. Because once I say Russell Wilson is not going back to the Steelers, then where does he land? And yesterday I was like, okay, I could see a reunion with Russ and Pete Carroll with the Las Vegas Raiders. But then I thought more about the GM, John Spytek, and then Pete Carroll. And I said to myself, I think Pete is going to want a quarterback that provides a little bit more stability because Pete doesn't have a long window here. He got a 3-year contract. And if you go to Russ, you could be moving on from Russ after 1 year, even though you guys have a long relationship with a bad ending. But they're now back in the good graces of one another. But I when I went to go put Russell Wilson to the Raiders, just something in my head went off where I go, I think they're going to try to look for a longer-term plan, even if it's not this great name. So then I go, okay, if I'm not having Russ go to the Raiders, if I don't have Russ going to the Steelers, if I don't have Russ going to the Browns, if I don't have Russ going to the Rams, where could he go? Thought about the Jets, thought about the Giants, right? He's been rumored the last few years to be interested in at least going to New York and playing for the Giants. Heck, even last year, before signing with the Steelers, he did take a visit. I think his first visit was with the Giants. But as I sit here now, I think Russell Wilson, and this is an underrated part about it, Russ, we all know, has an ego. But Russ last year, if you recall, didn't play a full season. Hurt early on. Justin Fields then got benched, and they went to with Russ the rest of the way. So I think Russ will be fine going somewhere, even though it isn't his preference. I think Russ will be fine going somewhere where he may not be the starter week one, but you don't believe in the quarterback a lot, and then you could eventually usurp him, and it may be in week 5 or 6. And that's why I'm going to put Russell Wilson on the Indianapolis Colts. They need another name. They need a veteran in there. Anthony Richardson, you can't tell me they even really believe in him because they benched him this year when he tapped out. I know they went back to him, but does anyone actually think that Anthony Richardson is that dude? So if they benched Anthony Richardson for Joe Flacco, and I know Joe played well with the Browns, but still, Joe Flacco, like old man Flacco now, that's who you bench the guy that was supposed to be your franchise quarterback for. I do think that Russell Wilson maybe could go to Indianapolis and beat out Anthony Richardson, but I think he'll hitch his wagon to Anthony Richardson's just never really all that consistent. So I'll let him play the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season, and you know the leash is going to be very short because they benched him last year. And then just Joe Flacco didn't have anything left in the tank and didn't have that magic that he did find in Cleveland. So I could see Russell Wilson with Michael Pittman, Pierce, and Jonathan Taylor, and then not being intimidated by Anthony Richardson saying, I could eventually get on the field there. So I'm going to say Russell Wilson on a cheap deal to the Indianapolis Colts.
Justin Fields.
This one was tricky. I'm going to say Justin Fields winds up in the Big Apple, and he's going to be quarterbacking the Jets. Ohio State guy. You know, he had that relationship with Garrett Wilson. I look at Justin Fields, the Jets right now, in all likelihood, not going to get a quarterback in the draft unless if they do move up, and I still think that's unlikely because I think either the Browns or Tennessee will take a quarterback, and then the Giants will take a quarterback as well. You already said goodbye to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you're bringing in an older quarterback like a Kirk Cousins. You know, Russell Wilson could be in play. I don't buy that Matthew Stafford is really going to be on the move. I think the Jets could be interested in Sam Darnold, but there's no way Sam Darnold's going to be interested in the Jets, even though this is a new regime with Muji and also with Aaron Glenn coming in. But I could see the Jets taking a roll of the dice on Justin Fields, where you do have Tyrod Taylor in place, who's not great, right? He's not good, but he's a respectable name, right? Backup quarterback in this league. And maybe you have another punchier at the quarterback position where you do have a competition, Taylor and Justin Fields. And you say, Justin Fields, right? You're a young quarterback. It didn't work out for you in Chicago. You did some good things with the Steelers. They eventually went to their veteran in Russell Wilson. Let's see what you could do here. Let's see if you could reach our, you know, the potential here in New York. You know, what Sam Darnold eventually did years later, even though it was a disaster in New York with Minnesota, maybe you could end up doing that with Gang Green in New York with the New York Jets. So I'm going to say Justin Fields to the New York Jets.
Sam Darnold.
And then, Stu, you convinced me yesterday. I'm saying Sam Darnold winds up with the Raiders. And the biggest reason why is, yes, I think Spytek would prefer to get Shedeur Sanders in the draft. I don't know if he's willing to give up the capital to go get Shedeur Sanders. And I know Brady would love Shedeur Sanders. Brady's a big fan of Shedeur, and the two of them are very close. But with that being said, I think the Raiders stay put at six. They get the best player available. Maybe they even move back to get more capital because the Raiders could use some capital. But I think the Raiders take the best player available at six. I don't think Shedeur nor Cam are going to be available there. And I think really the Raiders are already going to make their decision before that because Pete's on a three-year timeline. He's got 3 years on that contract. Now, he'd go more than that, but you got a three-year contract. I think Sam Darnold could get a three-year contract, maybe even less. But I could see Sam getting a three-year deal, and you link up Sam Darnold and Pete Carroll. You take a playmaker at six. You got Brock Bowers. You know, if you keep Max Crosby, you got him on the other side of the ball. And even though it's not this great group in Las Vegas, and I don't think Sam Darnold's this great quarterback, but at least you have an answer at the quarterback position where Pete knows who his guy is going to be for his tenure with the Silver and Black. So those are the predictions, right? We don't got any more right there. I don't think there's any more names there. Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers, Kirk Cousins to the Browns, Matthew Stafford to the Rams, Russell Wilson to the Colts, Justin Fields to the Jets, and then Sammy Slinging Donald to the Las Vegas Raiders. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. Rob, always great to hear your voice. What's going on, my friend?
What's going on, Zach? You already know that the Bills Mafia is number one as far as having the craziest fans. We're awesome. We're awesome. But I, you know what? You left out the Ravens. I think the Ravens fans are pretty nutty up that way too, you know.
Good fan base. No, definitely a top 15. Definitely a top 15 fan base. You know, I remember when I was at that terrible wild card game for the Patriots when the Ravens kicked their ass. They had a bunch of buses of fans coming on in. They're good. Absolutely. just to me, not a top 10 fan base. But what else you got?
One other thing, as far as the draft, I think Travis Hunter is going to go one, and then it's going to be Ward, and then it's going to be Sanders.
So I agree with you in terms of, or that's the way I hope it kind of goes. I hope Abdul Carter is not in the first three picks because I want Abdul Carter to go to the Patriots.
Exactly.
I am not sold yet on which team is going to pass on the quarterback. That's my dilemma. I don't know if it's going to be Tennessee or if it's going to be Cleveland, but I do agree with you that one of the first two picks will be Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward is the first quarterback off the board. And then I'm going to lean that Travis Hunter is the first non-quarterback taken. And then I do believe whether it's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, whoever doesn't go in the top two, the Giants will then gobble him up at three. And then the Patriots sit there at four. And if it's Abdul Carter going in the top three, then they take Travis Hunter. If it's Travis Hunter going in the top three, then I think they end up taking Abdul Carter. That's what I think we're all looking right at. Those four players, I don't know the order, but appreciate the phone call, Rob, and enjoy the weekend and happy Friday to you. But I think those are going to be the first four players in some order taken in the draft. And if I had to pick right now, I would agree with Rob right now. I would say, but he said Cam Ward to the Titans, or did he say Travis? He said Cam Ward, right? So I'll say Cam Ward to Tennessee, Travis Hunter to the Browns. I would then say Shedeur Sanders.
Do the Shedeur Sanders. Huh.
To the New York Giants, and then in at number four, Abdul Carter with the Patriots. And you know what? If Abdul Carter gets drafted by the Patriots, I think that would be the first Penn State jersey I would buy. I don't think I've ever owned, like, not an Abdul Carter Penn State jersey, to
be clear. I was going to say, a Penn State, wow.
I don't think I've ever owned a jersey of a Penn State player. I love LeVar Arrington, and I like Micah Parsons, but I don't think I've ever owned a jersey of a Penn State player. But after our feud and our beef, which, you know, it's his feud and beef, not mine, and now he's claiming it was CTE, with Warren Sapp storming off set with us after I praised Abdul Carter, I could use myself an Abdul Carter Patriot jersey. I bought a Patriot jersey a few weeks back. A new one. No, it's kind of an old one. I got a red Mike Vrabel jersey. But when it came in the mail, I didn't like the way that it looked. Now, jerseys are very hit or miss right now. I think sometimes when you get them from China, they're actually better, if I'm being honest. China. But when we take a look at this Mike Vrabel jersey I got from the NFL, right? That's where I bought it from. The name Vrabel, Stu, was written very, very small.
Yeah.
And I know I'm a big guy, but even, right, if it was a smaller person, it was very small, the lettering. It just didn't match up with the number. And I've never been able to say this, so I could say this now. The jersey was even a little big, too. Now, I like a bigger football jersey because if you go to a game outdoors and you got to, right, pack it in with all the sweatshirts and the coat, you want to then throw the jersey on top of yourself. So I don't mind a little bit of a bigger football jersey, but the jersey was a tad big, and then the lettering on the name Vrabel, on the nameplate, was just too small that I actually returned it and got my money back, which I was annoyed because I love Mike Vrabel. So I'm in the market for a new jersey. I have a Brady jersey. I got an Andre Tippett jersey. I have a Matthew Slater jersey. I have a Gronk jersey somewhere. I have a Brewski jersey somewhere. But my parents moved. It was in my childhood room, those jerseys, those two. So they're in a box somewhere. And I got a Willie McGinnis jersey. But I think that jersey's now too big because I used to be very fat. And, you know, I lost all this weight. So that jersey's like a dress on me now. But, yeah, I'm in the market for a new jersey. I was going to go with the new coach in Vrabel, but then I just didn't like the way that it looked. We have a jersey problem now. Like, remember when you were growing up, you just go to Modell's, right?
Yeah, Modell's, Foot Locker.
And they had all the jerseys. It didn't matter if you had a New York Foot Locker or Modell's. They had all the jerseys.
Big name players. They'd have like Charles Woodson Raider jerseys. Yeah.
And then there was that website in China, EC Seller, which was great. They had a $25 jersey. I think there's a DH Gate or something right
there
now.
There is a DH Gate that I am well aware of.
But here's the so DH Gate I usually like. Then I ordered a Pete Alonso DH Gate jersey. It is crumbled up in like some box. It looked like a rag. It was the worst jersey I've ever got. So it's hit or miss when it comes from China. But when it hits, I think they're the best. Some of my best jerseys are from China and you have no clue. So I'm in the market for New Jersey. Abdul Carter, Patriot, I get it right away. That's how you know my fandom has really fallen. I get excited over a potential draft picks jersey. That's how you know that Zach Gelb, who was in the penthouse for many years, is now in the outhouse. I don't like being in the outhouse, if I'm being honest with you. I like the better Stu being in the penthouse. Not that you've ever experienced
I was going to say, I don't know what that's like. So
yeah. And we have a lot in common, minus the rings. But you know, if you just take that aside, right now our football teams both have a lot in common. Oh, actually, I don't even know.
At least you have a quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least I do have a quarterback. That is true. And a coach that isn't about to go get his AARP card and go to the early bird special. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Affinity Sports Network. One thing I heard in the aftermath of the Super Bowl from the Kansas City Chiefs that I think is a big, big, big time problem. We'll get to that on the other side. Update time first. Here is Ack. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I got to ask the pros question of the day in just a second. So I told you yesterday about this issue that I had with the airlines. About an hour and a half of my morning today was spent rectifying this issue. And over the dollar amount, I was very close to just hanging up the phone and just saying it wasn't even worth it. So in January, I booked a flight through my credit card company on my rewards, just to rehash the story, and I'll give you the final outcome, to end up getting a flight to Colorado. So and it was more expensive than normal, so I said, I'll just use my points, I got them. So then 3 or 4 days later, whatever it was, I get a notification that the flight has changed. And when I went to see when the flight changed, it wasn't conducive to my travel schedule. So then I went on my United app, and I ended up switching the flight back to a better time. And then I got originally $44 back, I think it was. So I got two emails. One was a $55 credit, and the other said I was going to get a refund to $44. I don't know why there was a discrepancy on it, but whatever. So the other day I had to book another flight, and I went to go use that credit, and it said the credit was expired. And then I called up United. They said that's an outdated credit. They didn't even tell me you got a refund, but they said you have to call back your credit card company because you booked it through them, even though you rescheduled the flight with us after their change and their error. So I called back my credit card company yesterday, Stu. And my credit card company, late last night, they tell me that they spoke to United and that United said, I have to actually call back United because it was their error and they will give me the credit. So then today I was on the phone for 60 minutes with United. And I even had to talk to a supervisor at one point because they told me they had no clue what that credit was about. They can't even find it in their system, even though they re-emailed it to me yesterday. And then they said you should have been refunded $44 and you were refunded $44. I had no record of the $44 refunded. And then I guess they told me where they refunded it was to a card that I don't even have. They gave me a number. I'm looking at all my cards. I'm like, there's no number there. So the lady basically told me there's nothing she could do for me. And I have to call back my credit card company. So I call back my credit card company. And I'm nice, but I'm losing patience here. Because now this is almost like 2.5 days of this nonsense. So I said to the person at the credit card company, I'm not hanging up the phone until we get an answer here. So that person with the credit card company then called United. And they were going back and forth. And they're like, we could call you back. I'm like, no. Put me on hold. Because even though the guy sounded like a nice guy, you're going to say you call me back. You may call me back during the show. Then I don't pick up. Then I never hear from you again. So he eventually told me they are sending us the refund, right? Because they got to send it to the credit card company. And then they will send it back to me and it will come back in points. Those phone calls, how many people mess things up, sending me things that I'm not. At one point, I'm like, it's over $44. But it's like the purpose of it, the premise of it. I almost lost my mind today. At one point, I was just ready to just hang up the phone and be like, all right, good riddance with this. So that ended up being the final outcome. I got the refund. But man, what the hoops that they make you jump through. And I'm a 6'4" guy, so it ain't easy for me to jump through hoops. It's ridiculous. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know what? We haven't heard from this person in a while. Hi, Zach. It's Bella B in Calgary. Would you rather be too hot or too cold? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. You can submit a question by tweeting at INM Sports Center at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think I'd rather be too hot. Because if I'm too hot, I go get ice cream, right? Or if it's too hot, I go to the beach. Or if it's too hot, I could go in the pool. Being cold is, like, when I was in Atlanta for the national championship game, I've never had frostbite, but I thought I was getting frostbite. And when you're just frigid and you could, like, barely move, you barely walk, and right behind your ears just get freezing and your hands get freezing, I don't know about you, Stu. I'd rather be too hot compared to too cold.
100%. I'd rather wipe off sweat and get some ice cream rather than, like, my morning this morning, walking just 10 minutes and not being able to feel my face. It's just, like, a terrible, like, it's brutal. Hate it.
Especially when, like, your skin gets, like, all, like, what is it, chappy, I think it's called? And, just the worst. Anyway, I saw something Did you see this, by the way, Stu? Henry McKenna?
No.
He's a reporter for Fox Sports. This is from him. Before the game, a Chiefs coach told me that media members had been asking him if going to the Super Bowl ever gets old, and he bluntly told me it does. There was legit Super Bowl fatigue from this Chiefs team. It was completely clear in the first half when things escalated quickly. Huh? Let me tell you something. As someone that was a part of a dynasty, it never got old. Never. You won, then you won some more, and it got better and better and better and better. Whoever that coach is on the Chiefs, if that's a true coach, a true quote, and that wasn't taken out of context, and that was actually said, it wasn't said like tongue-in-cheek and jest, if they said, yeah, getting to the Super Bowl feels old, Andy Reid, you got to find out who that coach is. I don't care what he's done for you. You got to fire his ass. You're fired. That's what I would do. That's lame. Stu, you ever get old going to Super Bowl? Come on. What are we doing? Have a great weekend. I'll be on The Fan, WFAN in New York on Sunday if you want to listen to the free Odyssey app from 3 to 6:45 p.m. Eastern. If not, we'll talk to you Monday, everybody, from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Have a great weekend. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.